11,000 scientists from 153 countries have called climate change a global emergency this week, but it only takes one Trump to undercut the response. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider joining us this week from the floating city, the City of Canals, Venice. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us every week wherever you pick up your podcasts, at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Climate emergency. Donald Trump has moved to withdraw the United States from the Paris Agreement, which would make the US the only country in the world not in the agreement, the same week as 11,000 scientists have come together to say if we don't act now, climate change will lead to untold human suffering. Ed, what's going on?
Well, this is the president continually doing things to distract everything from his real problem, and that is being president. He needs things that his base likes. They like this language. But I think they're liking it less now because in the South, they've had a lot of storms, cyclones, and devastation, and now in California, fires. People know the climate emergency is really a climate emergency. This is a lose-lose for him. It'll hurt him in the polls, it'll hurt him everywhere, but the United States loses position by doing it.
Well, on that position, I mean, we've talked about before how America has essentially absolved its position as a leading light of the world under Trump. I would argue they were losing anyway. Trump has merely accelerated the process. But how are other countries, poorer countries and the like, going to say, well, our people, we need to come together, we need to shoulder these burdens when the great and powerful America claims it cannot shoulder them itself?
I think there are a couple things here. One of them is the United States lost its position a long time ago on this issue when the president announced he was going to do this. But the bigger nations, including China, India is a little bit soft on this, but the biggest nations in the world are already in, including Russia, by the way. So this is a tempest in a teapot. Whatever happens, the deep state is making sure the United States is getting as close as they can to these programs. A big industry in the United States has bought into this. Almost all the states have bought into it, including southern states like Louisiana and Mississippi, because they've been damaged and recognize what climate change can do. And of course, California certainly has to be there.
Actually, speaking of California, Trump has also threatened this week to withhold FEMA funding from California over these incredible wildfires we talked about last week. Due to, he claims, well, the fires are happening because of mismanagement of the forests, even though the supposed mismanagement is on federal land, not controlled by the state. Ed, can he do this?
No. Government regulations are very clear here. This is something the Congress has said has to be done. The president has no role in the allocation of these funds. It's the role with the administrator of FEMA. The president cannot withhold. He cannot change. He can't do anything except say that I did it. So this means absolutely nothing. In the short term, California will issue its own bonds to take care of this matter and then collect the money later, as we had to do in Katrina.
South of the border, 9 dual U.S.-Mexico citizens, 3 women and 6 children, have been killed in an ambush this week by suspected drug cartel gunmen. Trump now wants to go to war with the drug cartels. Mexico, unsurprisingly, pushing back on this idea. What do you make of this one, Ed?
Well, this is typical Trump. He's saying things that will be popular with his base, that he can't do anything. Now he'll blame the Democrats for not raising the war drums to do something. Mexico is at fault here, in a sense, that they have not controlled those gangs, both the Mexican cartels and the Central American cartels, and they're at war with one another. And one convoy of jeep caravans over another, they're just shooting them and killing them. It's sad, sad, sad for Mexico. But had it happened in the United States, what would we be doing?
Yeah, I certainly don't want to make light of these deaths. I've sort of had an interest in the Mexican drug cartels for a number of years now, and I'm pretty comfortable saying I think their members are among the purest form of evil you can get in human form. ISIS could take lessons in creativity from these guys. Now, the deaths are incredibly tragic, but the sad fact is we could have been hearing about this any day of the week in a mass shooting in the States. I can't imagine it would get this kind of response from Trump if we did.
No, I don't think we would. Trump would then say this is a tragedy. He'd go to the funerals and do nothing.
Well, Trump, we've got to talk impeachment this week. Gordon Sondland, the US ambassador to the EU, changed tune to say he now remembers telling a Ukrainian official US military aid likely hinged on an inquiry into Hunter and Joe Biden. More quid pro quo. But Republicans more interested in the identity of the original whistleblower in the trial. It
makes no difference who the whistleblower is. The truth is the truth. It's out there. Again, more distraction. The whistleblower could have been Trump himself. It doesn't really matter. The fact that this came out to safeguard the American people against a rogue president is the important element here. People have lost interest in Anonymous. They are now interested in the actual facts. They're doing everything to delay, to change the story, to change the goalposts, but it's getting worse and worse.
On the whistleblower, though, not just distraction and delay, have some has already said that Trump's pursuit of them constitutes obstruction of justice. Donald Trump Jr. has gone and tweeted the individual's name, sparking fears of retribution, and, well, this is obstruction of justice, isn't it? How is the president's son not off to jail already?
That is obstruction of justice if this is, even if it's not the actual person. The law is very clear. You cannot attempt to identify them. And he has violated the law and can be prosecuted. No doubt about it.
Also this week, the New York Appeals Court has said Trump must hand over 8 years of tax returns. Now, given all the other consequences he's facing for his actions, I guess we can hold our breath collectively waiting for that. Remember when Trump was going to happily hand over those returns himself about 100 years ago now?
Yeah, and it's not going to happen. Trump's got real trouble. As you know, just last night, he was thumped in the elections. Kentucky got a Democratic governor. Virginia got a Democratic governor, said he couldn't win. The Virginia House is now all Democrat. Many other states have turned entirely Democrat. Trump lost all the suburbs. That's the story, and he lost big in the states that he won before.
It is tempting to take some heart from those victories, but should Dems be reading too much into the result for 2020, or should they take a bit of a cold shower and just say, well, look, we need to stay on target here?
No, I think this is momentum building, real momentum building. It means the candidates for president aren't as important as the current president and getting him out. So the Democrats can take some comfort in that almost whomever they nominate is going to be voted for because the votes are against Trump and the Trump machine. Actually, the impeachment hearings themselves have always been damaging to the incumbent. So I think he'll lose even in the South here, because it's going to energize voters who don't usually come out in presidential elections. As you know, only about 36% of Americans vote in a presidential election. I think if they think they have a criminal sitting in the White House, a larger number will vote, and the big numbers go to the Democrats.
And just, I think it's worth mentioning, because this is an evolving situation, the Republican governor outgoing, Matt Bevin, in Kentucky, has said, well, he's calling for a re-canvass and claimed there were more than a few irregularities in the race he has lost. No evidence for that claim there. It's straight out of the Trump playbook. Some are fearing that the GOP will attempt to steal the election and subvert the will of voters.
Get the FBI in. Get the outside investigators in. Remember, had he won by the same number, there'd be no cry, like in Georgia, for recount. So I would assume the Secretary of State in Kentucky will do what he has to do, and that is certify the election.
Closer to home, Australia signing on to a major free trade deal with 15 countries from the Asia-Pacific region at the East Asia Summit in Bangkok. Now, on the face of it, looks like a good thing, but at the same time, we're still in this balancing act between China and the US, for one, and this balancing act between our ability to call China out on the immoral things we perceive them doing and relying on them for trade. Any thoughts, Ed?
This is a good move for Australia. Australia has to find a group of Asian countries that are growing. That's who we trade with. We trade with growing nations. These are growing nations. The United States, we trade commodities with. Sure, it's important, but agriculture is no longer, and coal are no longer our future. We have to trade ideas, materials, medicines, pharmaceuticals, and like with the Asian nations. This is a turn for the good for Australia. The U.S. can't do much of anything about it. And the Chinese are delighted that Australia and the Asians are in a block. And they will deal with that block as they have with the EU. Not a big deal.
Assuming this is all signed off next year, this would be, I believe, the world's largest trade deal, even bigger if India comes on board as well. What are the implications for the U.S.-China trade war?
I think that's going to wait for another president. This president is too erratic to say. U.S. does not have a trade policy, nor does it have a foreign policy. But basically, the United States is going to have to, post-Brexit, realign itself with blocks of countries and not single nations. This is new for the United States. The United States has been big in bilateral trade, but not so big in multilateral trade. But I think it's coming. The U.S. will side with the EU, not with Great Britain. And the U.S. will side with this bloc. And China will join one of these blocs. It has to. The U.S. and China trade has to depend on other countries. They can't go it alone.
And just finally, we mentioned the momentum for 2020 a minute ago. In the Democratic race, Beto O'Rourke dropping out, Elizabeth Warren taking some heat for her billionaire bashing this week, and Mayor Pete Buttigieg, breaking into the top four contenders. Any thoughts?
I think this is good for the Democrats. Having fresh faces, having a real contest, having ideas. Some people are for, some people are against. But that keeps the Democratic Party on the front page. It doesn't matter who's in or who's out. It means there's a real race here. That's unlike the time when Clinton ran, when she was the only person the Democrats were focusing on. So this means each one of those persons who was in has some followers. And if they can bring those followers to the election, for whomever the candidate is, and it looks like by doing very little, Biden can win. And the fact that Biden's not offensive is important here. He hasn't offended a whole bunch of people. Now he's got some dirt on him, this Ukrainian thing and his son doing these kinds of things are bad, but the worst thing he could be is Trump-like. I guess he gets a little bit more gas in his engine. And there's somebody we haven't talked about who's almost out of the race who might be a great vice presidential candidate, and that's Klobuchar. She's with a state that anybody needs. She's calm, she's well-liked, and she's a firebrand when she's out on the trail. So I think we might see Biden Klobuchar. You heard it first here.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Hey, if you enjoy what we do, well, why not drop us a review on your favourite podcast app? Share us on the old socials, maybe tell a friend. Whatever you can do, it all helps. And you can always catch us on Facebook and Twitter, as well as on the podcast at US of Ed.